ఉన్నాయి. Thank you. Member, are there any objections to the nomination of Mr. Makube? No. Okay. Mr. Makube, you have been nominated as the chairman, so you may take the floor.
Let me take this opportunity first and foremost to thank my colleagues for this nomination to chair this particular meeting, and again indicating our apologies for starting, and I want to firstly indicate as why we are in this predicament. It is not like this committee to necessarily start meetings late, but for this kind of an occasion wherein we need to have an acting chairperson, we do need to form a quorum before we can get anything started. But why we have got difficulty with a quorum, it's on the basis of the following. One, that we've got a member of the committee who has been off sick for a long time, Honorable Bonhomme. So we always have that standing apology. But we again have got the person who used to be the chairperson of this committee, Honorable Jackson Mutembu, who has since become the chief whip of the majority party in parliament. So he's not necessarily in a position to fulfill his responsibilities as chairperson of this particular committee. We this morning had both Honorable Mavilo and Honorable Kekana, as indicated earlier, who missed their transport and could not make it in good time here due to a particular challenge of the changes in their own park. And we had other apologies like Honorable Hatebe and others. We hope those who are not here yet may join us. We do know that both the Minister and Deputy Minister have indicated their apologies, but I will allow in the right time the DG to indicate that properly when the time comes. I also was called this morning by Mr. Mkhetsen, the CEO of Sanparks, who indicated the ordeal that happened to both his wife and daughter. They got hijacked, I think, last night. Now he has to go back to Gauteng to look at what is going on or take charge of that particular situation. But he was here in Cape Town, so he was willing to come and make the presentation on behalf of that entity. We will have to receive this morning presentations from three entities, SOS, Sanparks, and Ismangalisa. after we had received the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the department on Tuesday, on the 12th, as well as that of SAMB. And we know that this is procedure in Parliament, so that we are able later on to deal with the budget board, knowing what is in the plan, what is going to be achieved, and whether we are in agreement with that or not. We will start with a source this morning, and I just hope that you will be ready to do that. But first, let me say that it has been our tradition that now that we are receiving, we don't necessarily go through the introduction of everybody in the room. But I know today that we are many. We even have got those who we don't usually see. But let me say that when we come to that, whether it's in terms of board members or any situation like that, the entity concerned will then indicate whether we've got, or the DG may indicate whether we've got new arrivals, or if not, we just proceed as usual. And we take note that even in terms of other people who don't usually come to our meetings today are here. This meeting seems to have taken or attracted quite a number of people, the public, which is good, so that they get to know what is going on in the department and its entities and how we conduct our work here in Parliament. You all are welcome. Meetings of the Portfolio Committee are an extension of Parliament and therefore open to the public unless otherwise indicated. But in this particular one, it's open to the public, so everybody is allowed to come to our meetings and follow what the proceedings are like. DG, may I first take you so that you give your remarks, and later I take it that you will then allow us to proceed with the presentation, while some parts will be ready because they will be next, and later will be this Mangali. Over to you, DJ.
Good morning. Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. And yes, I would like to confirm the apology from the minister and the details that the minister fell ill as reported on Tuesday, and the details that was here with us on Tuesday. She had to be in Pretoria today. The entities that are presenting the strategic plan and the annual plan and budget for 2016-17 had followed through the full procedures in terms of the rules of Parliament in regards to tabling. The strategic plans and APPs were tabled as of the 10th of March in line with the program of Parliament. And before that tabling, the minister and the department had an engagement with the documents in terms of making sure that the strategic plan reviews and the ACPs are aligned with the government program of action, in particular contribute to the 9-point plan as well as the outcome plan in respect of the medium-term strategic framework. So the plans in respect to the entities tabled were found to be sufficient in respect of meeting the objectives and the legislative functions of the entities.
So I'll hand over to the CEO of Weather Services, and thereafter, Isimangaliso will then present and sort of send parks, and then Isimangaliso. Sandy, as the chair correctly mentioned, was already before the committee on Tuesday. Thanks. CEO, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, Chairperson of the Board of the South African Weather Service, Director General.
Okay, I take it that we don't have any board members.
Chair, we do have one board member, our Chairperson of the Board, Mrs. Ngome Zulu. She's been to the Portfolio Committee before. She
doesn't wish to say any remarks. May we perfectly do that.
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Ntwaki Ngome Zulu. I have been here before, and the only remarks that I'm going to make is that I've brought the best soldiers from South African Weather Service who are doing a sterling job. So I'll give it back to the CEO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Board. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed an honor for us to be here today presenting our strategy from 2015 to 2020. Indeed, as the DG has indicated, we have gone through the process of making sure that there is an alignment in terms of our strategy to the mandate of the organization and to the priorities of government, and specifically to some of the programs within the department and the National Development Plan as well. Okay, my presentation, the content of my presentation, honorable members, one, I will be just highlighting the mandate of the organization, the key responsibilities in terms of the mandate, looking at the mission, the vision, and the values. It is one of the areas with our new board that we have looked at and also reviewed, which I will also talk about that, and also just show you a snapshot of our high-level structure of the organization. Then highlighting the areas where the Weather Service is making a contribution in terms of the government priorities, the National Development Plan, the National Climate Change Response Policy, and also the Department of Environmental Strategy. I'll also take us through the strategy itself with a number of areas and then looking at the conclusions. Members, thank you very much. We do as an organization, when we develop our strategy and also our activity on a day-to-day basis, we go back to the reference in terms of our mandate. Our mandate, we do have a responsibility of maintaining, extending and improving the quality of meteorological and ambient air related information services. And I think the air quality has just been added as we reviewed our act. The other area that is very important for us, we do have a responsibility of providing the public good and also the commercial, as well as to commercialize some of our activities and the services. And also providing quality data, not only looking at South Africa, also looking at the surrounding southern oceans as well, and because weather knows no boundaries. So we also making sure that in terms of managing the risk and also having the necessary knowledge, we also manage those of ocean. And I must say, South Africa, we should be proud because we are managing the second biggest area of the ocean following America. So the input that we bring at a global level is very important. The other area that is very important for us as we do our work, we are a custodian of long-term climate, national climate information and also air quality. So it's an area that we need to make sure that the information that we provide is reliable information. We also have responsibility in terms of fulfilling international obligations of the government under the Convention of the World Meteorological Organization. We also have a responsibility as an aviation meteorological authority. So working closely with civil aviation organization. you cannot take off nor land without having the information from us. As we fly around in South Africa and around the world, we play that role in terms of aviation safety. So also, what is also important in our mandate is to be sensitive to the demographics and the realities of the country in terms of transformation and the work that we do, whether we are providing information, whether we are involved in capacity building in terms of educating and training and building the necessary capacity, whether we are providing the services that are required. So we need to look at that as well. We are also a custodian of SACWIS in terms of our mandate. Moving to our vision, we relooked at our strategy and we said as an organization, what is it and representing our government, what is it that we need to do to ensure that at the end of the day, our nation can deal, especially now, with the impact of severe weather events that are happening more often and they are becoming the frequency and the intensity is increasing. So our vision, we want to make it as simple as possible, but as country as well. We want to have a nation that is weather smart. When we say weather smart, we are talking about having a nation that is, we provide them with the information to ensure their safety. They need to be more informed. They need to be alert so that they are able to respond. They need to be resilient and ready to deal with the weather patterns that are really, and we need to provide that information on time so that people are able to respond to that information. And our vision, a weather and climate center of excellence, providing innovative solutions to ensure weather smart region, sustainable development, and economic growth. We have looked at that and said, what are the values that we think are important for us to always remind us of our vision and our mission? One of the key things is that it does not help to have information that dates more than 150-something years if your communities are not conscious of that, and we as an organization are not community conscious. So our approach in the next 5 years is to work very closely with the communities and providing information and services and products that are addressing the needs of the community. So we felt it was important for us to be community conscious and the issue of safety being a very important issue. Hence, our data and information needs to be reliable and it should be science-based and it should be simple. Simplicity is the key. In the next few years, we will be looking at that and working closely with our communities. We cannot do that as Chairperson without collaboration with other institutions. You've seen now when we're dealing with, now that we are dealing with also issues of drought and all that, we are also being invited to go and present to other portfolio committees, like the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, because we need to work in a collaborative manner with other entities. So that's what we are also promoting as the weather service. And we cannot do that without becoming conscious that we need to learn all the time being a learning organization. So those are the values of the organization. Second thing we do in terms of the structure, we do have the internal audit, which reports to the board. We do have the company secretary and all the other structures below. Our staff complement is around 411 employees to date. We also, in terms of the alignment, Chairperson, as our Director General indicated, that one outcome 10 is key for us in terms of providing the support and being an implementing agency of the Environmental Affairs Department. Also, the other thing that for us is also important, we have been given a responsibility in terms of the mandate of the air quality. So health also plays a very important area for us, safety as well, employment and having inclusive economic growth. And as a training, a regional training center, we also have the responsibility of skilling and having a capable workforce in this sector. So those are some of the areas, and food security, working closely with agriculture. We also started in having a focus on the 9-point plan, and our focus as the weather service is looking at agriculture and agro-processing value chain, resolving the energy challenges, because we do have a work looking at the solar energy, wind energy. We also have a role to play in there. And also working very closely and with the science and technology, with the work that we do. I mean, our scientists and they work tirelessly to provide science-based information. Also, as indicated, sir, we have a responsibility of monitoring the second biggest area of oceans in the world, following America. So in terms of that information is useful in terms of safety for the ocean economy. So we provide that baseline information. As indicated, collaboration is also important. We've also highlighted, the areas that the priorities in terms of the national development plan, where the weather service is also playing a role, and also the national climate change response policy. We also play a role in terms of, if you look at the number of chapters that we, chapter 5, where we looked at a transition to low carbon economy and employment, economic infrastructure, inclusive rural economy, all those areas I've highlighted, chapter 9 in terms of improving educational and innovation and training. We do play a role in that, and also our activities and the research work that we do is also responding to the national climate change response policies. I will highlight in terms of the presentation. What we've also done, Chairperson, is to specifically zoom in those department strategic objectives and also align them to the strategic objectives of the Weather Service, and also highlighting the strategic objectives that are talking to those objectives of the department. For example, I will not go through each and every one. Taking, for example, the threat to environmental quality and integrity management, we have the climate change response policy enhancement and implementation. From our side, one of our key strategic activity initiative objectives is to establish the national framework for climate services, because we have a number of different role players, but coming up with a framework of providing these services, climate services, will respond very well with the implementation of the policy itself. And also the other area, Chairperson, we do have a responsibility as an organization in terms of generating knowledge and information. And we plan to continuously provide scientific publications that will be useful for policymakers, academic institutions, and also adding to the body of knowledge, just to mention the few. And the other one under this, also goal number one, where we also strategically looking at specific products for specific sector and specific information to ensure that we are responding to the climate change challenges that are there. I have not gone through each and every one, Chair, but I was just giving some of the examples. For example, if you look at the negative impact on health and well-being, we do have a responsibility of, if the department relates to air quality management, we as the Weather Service, we are hosting and monitoring surface on behalf of the department. Looking at our roadmap since 2001, since establishment, where we are now, we're at a phase where we're looking at sustainability and long-term sustainability of the organization and value add to all the South Africans. So our strategy forecasted that. And one of the pillars that we looked at when we're looking at our long-term sustainability, one is to ensure that we mobilize resources to ensure the sustainability of the organization. We look for strategic partners and collaborations that will be adding value to South African Weather Service, in totality adding value to what needs to be done for the country. And we need to be positioning the organization appropriately, locally and also at an international level, because weather knows no boundaries. And we need to be coming up with relevant projects that will be assisting in ensuring that weather and climate issues are dealt with, and also air quality by the country. The board and management, we looked at different possibilities. One of the possibilities was to just accept that we do have, as needs arise from our end users by virtue of the mandate and also the needs that are coming. You might find that the needs, there are more than the available resources that are there. How do we deal with that? Or should we accept that the organization is over time will be weakened and the commercial value be eroded and we just concentrate on public good demand? Or should we consider to be a strategic partner to government and come up with solution-driven, sustainable organization? Or should we just look at organic growth? The board and management chose the scenario number three, where we believe that for us to be adding value and continuously have return for our government is to be a strategic partner to our government, provide solutions and ensure sustainability of the organization. The key areas for the next 5 years, Chair, that we are going to look at is revenue generation, making sure that we seek best technologies that would be also be an enabler for us to move forward, whether we do that through partnership, through strategic partners, through collaboration. We cannot do that without having our workforce and the necessary competencies that are required to do that. And also, we need to, all that we're doing, have a weather smart nation. So that was our strategic choice in terms of the scenarios, Chair, that we chose. And looking at the environment, Chair, we felt that for us to continue to be relevant in the provision of services and products for a weather smart nation, we need to have a better understanding of the end user requirements. So in the next 5 years, our strategy is to work very closely with our end user. Hence, one of the values is community consciousness and also focus on research and innovation. The other areas, when we looked at research, we felt it was important with the strategy to look at sector-specific products and services to address those needs and have programs that are directed at that at a different time scale and also commercially deploy of research outcomes and output so that we can also generate income as part of our first initiative of revenue generation. We also first share we need to be putting more emphasis on research strategies for the organization. And we need to have those enablers to ensure that we provide reliable public good service and also commercial service. We retain appropriate skills and competences and also deploy appropriate infrastructure. So recapitalization is also very important where it's necessary. So that our strategy is, in short, have all those areas in terms of discussion. What is our brand promise? We want to make you weather smart, as indicated, unpacking the smart part, safe, more informed, alert, resilient, ready, and we provide that information timely, and we also have a nation that responds timely. Moving to the strategic objectives, Chair, and the strategic goals. We have put a lot of detail in terms of the strategy. In terms of the strategy, we have put a lot of detail in terms of that. Our first strategic objective, we're looking at a strategic goal is the provision of products and services. And the long title is in provision of the services, we're providing products and services that meet the needs of the smart nation, making that those are provided. We need to be providing the services to different communities. We also need to be providing the services to the economic sector. We also, for us to be able to do that, is also look for strategic partners for project development and also services. And goal number two, Chairperson, looking, we cannot do that without having the capacity and the capability that is required. Infrastructure and human capital are the key areas of focus. Objective one is to upgrade, expand, and optimize the infrastructure that is required to do the work and also position the water service as the employer of choice in terms of the skills that are required to do the work. But added to that, they also build a talent pool for atmospheric science as a national imperative, not only training for the weather service, but also making sure that we train for South Africa, for maybe, for example, if municipalities, they need these skills, there are people available to do the work. And looking at goal number three, Chairperson, we're also looking at strategic relationship leverage and stakeholder engaged, because we cannot do that without understanding of our stakeholders. One is to position the organization as a relevant meteorological institution, manage and leverage the strategic relationship, whether it's working with the communities and coming up with new products, whether it's working with other stakeholders and coming up with new technology. Goal number four, Chair, is looking at research, knowledge and intelligence created in support of the Water Smart Nation. We not only provide the service and the product, but the knowledge that is required in the area, and to ensure that we grow the weather and climate knowledge base, so that whoever makes a decision, if it has to be a policy decision, it's science-based. If you are a business person and you are looking at the risk that you need to manage, that information that you get is science-based information. And we cannot do all that share without goal number five, making sure that there is growth and sustainability and growing our revenue. Chairperson, that is, those are the objectives as set in the strategy in its totality. Moving to the next slide, Chair, where I've linked the strategic goal with the APP and the quarterly targets as well. As indicated, Chair, we do have a focus in the next 5 years to look at targeting certain communities, especially the vulnerable communities. Chairperson, we do have work that is being done looking at analyzing the risk in different areas. For example, I would talk about lightning, where we know in certain areas there is a high possibility of lightning. Those are some of the communities that we are going to target on how we should be interacting and how we should be providing that information to them. And then we take that analysis, Chair. From that analysis, after doing the survey, we will be in a position, if you look at our objective number two, to come up with specific products that will assist those communities. So we've put the work on a quarter-to-quarter basis. We've already, as we come to present on a quarterly basis, there's been a number of projects that we have developed now, and we'll continue maintaining those products. But in the coming year, we'll add another project to ensure that, but those projects will be based on the analysis done, and the project will be aligned to the needs of those communities. Moving to the next one, Chair. And also the other one that is important other than the community is the sector-specific products. We've looked at agriculture, Chair. We've looked at water. We've looked at also energy as some of the sectors that we'll be looking at. And for those sectors, we'll be looking at coming up with specific products. One of the things that in the past, maybe the weather service, we felt as when we were looking at the strategy that we need to pay more attention is to come with specific first-year marketing plans for the projects that we are starting to come up with. So, Chair, what we've done as the weather service in terms of that, we will, this 2016, come up with a marketing plan. But I think our first focus that we're going to be looking at, considering the challenges that the country is faced with, is to also look at the agricultural sector as the first sector in terms of implementing our marketing strategy and interacting very closely with the communal farming farmers, commercial farmers, and also the department itself. We cannot do that, Chair, without having partners. So we will be looking for strategic partners, whether it's in terms of joint ventureship. Some of the partners would like that, others is strategic alliances, where we look for certain technologies that will make it much easier for us to actually do the work and also translate the information into user products and services. So we have highlighted we are looking at having two partners established in this coming year to add to the partners that we have. Moving to strategic goal number two, Chair, in terms of capacity and capability, I've indicated that we're going to look at the infrastructure itself, optimize it, expand it, and also upgrade it. And in so doing, we would like to make sure that the availability of the information meets the international standards and also at the same time is also reliable and useful for the end users. We have set these targets, Chairperson, and our key infrastructure that we put at a strategic level is our radar data, lightning data, and also circuits. So in terms of that, in terms of the infrastructure, those are the three key infrastructure that will make sure that at any given time they actually meet the required standard. The other area, Chair, that is very important for us is human capital. And we have also noticed that not all scientists want to be managers. Some of the scientists, they want to stay as scientists. However, they need to move up the ladder. So we've also introduced the dual career pathing program, which will accommodate those scientists who will want to be managers, but who want to continue doing science. So we will be implementing that moving forward, Chair. And also the other area that we are paying more focus on is to increase the capability of the core and the critical skills within the organization. At the moment, we did this, we've done this in 2007, 2008. I think it's also time again to establish the baseline. And see, considering the fact that now, Chair, what we see from the end users, they want an integrated solution. They just don't want to have information of telling them the minimum and maximum temperatures. They want to know what would be the impact. So we need to have also employees that are responding to that. And also our leadership, Chair, is also important. We do have a program that is looking at leadership development as well. Attraction and retention, we cannot afford to lose people. Our retention rate, we want it to be at 92%. That is a certain over that is around 8% on average. In terms of our objective two we also in terms of our EE plan, Chair, our target for 2016-17, we want to have 74% Africans, 3% people with disability, 40% women in core business of the organization, 42% in management, and achieve those in 2016. That is our target for 2016. Chairperson, moving in terms of, I've talked about National Development Plan, Chairperson. That's where we're looking at not only skills for the weather service, skills in totality for the country. We have a number of phases. We've already done the engagement in terms of phase one, and now we need to continue finalizing that part with the municipalities, with the local government, with also the provinces to look at what it is that they need so that we can go together in terms of resource mobilization. It is an honor for the country, Chairperson, that South African Weather Service has been accredited by the World Meteorological Organization to be a regional training center. We train people as far as Oman, they come for training in South Africa, and the training center is for Africa, but we tend to also get people coming from outside the continent to come for training. We have developed a strategy that we've also tabled at the WMO, and that is a strategy that we are also implementing at a local level as well. We are working with different sectors as well in terms of training and also training our own people internally and also people from outside. We also, in terms of building our own capacity and capability in terms of human capital, you know, Chair, we have in this field, it's a field that the previously disadvantaged have not been exposed to, but over the years we've tried to attract as many as possible. We've got a bursary scheme that we provide, and 75% of those
are exposed to previously disadvantaged. And the target is 50-50-50 women and 50 males. And this year we are looking at 62% of those awards. In the past, Chair, we have been absorbing those bursary holders when they finish close to 100%. But I think with all some of the financial challenges, we are targeting 50%. However, it's not lost for the country because the provinces and also the local government, they are also looking for implementers of their, like for example, disaster management plans and all that. So those people that are trained, they can even go and work in their provinces as well, working for other departments. We also planning to have as many PhDs as a call also members. If you look at the National Development Plan, there are targets that are set there. So from our side, we also want to have that program, making sure that our internal employees, they do get the PhDs as well. Looking at goal number three, which is stakeholder engagement, our focus shall be on corporate communication and also making sure that we use media in terms of our value add, where we will be working with media. If we move to the next one, working with media where we provide them information, but if we were to advertise, we'll have to be paying money for those adverts. But having to negotiate and having articles that are more value add for the media and also for the weather service, that is our strategy moving forward, Chair, in terms of rent value advertising value equivalent. We also, as indicated, Chair, once we've got a strategy for stakeholder engagement, which we will be focused, we do have the metrics of our stakeholders that we're going to be targeting, and also from that, that will assist us in the implementation of strategic goal number one. And on page 25, Chair, looking at the overall strategic satisfaction rate, we haven't put an estimated performance check there because we usually do the survey during the last quarter. But for the previous year, we had 84% satisfaction rate. So we have not received as yet the report for 15-16, end of 15-16. But for 14-15, we have 84%, and our target at the moment is 86%. What on goal number five, for what we have noticed as the med service family, is that the med services, especially in developing countries, we have never done any socio-economic benefits of having a weather service. And that's the work that the weather service will be doing. And that work we will also be useful for the other med services in the continent, so that countries can have an understanding what is really the value that weather service is bringing. I mean, Europe, they've done their studies where they believe that for every dollar spent, the country itself is the returns are $7. So we also want to look at how weather services in developing countries, especially in countries that also depend on agriculture, what are the socio-economic benefits? That is the value of generating knowledge and intelligence that can be used by other sectors and other activities. We also have the climate change, National Framework for Climate Services, which we work very closely with the department, so that in provision of the information for the different sectors, the sectors that we're going to look at first is agriculture, energy, water and health, working with the department. And we cannot do that without having the necessary partners to do the work check. And I've indicated that the other area that we're going to be looking at is coming up with publications. We are planning to look at 14 publications in the coming year, but those publications, they are, should be addressing some of the challenges that our end users are bringing to the table and are asking for questions. We, in terms of goal number five, Chair, I've highlighted the revenue generation. One is from the parliamentary grant. We are targeting 189.
0.28 million for growth in aviation. We also looking at 108.37 million for growth in other commercial revenue stream. We are looking at 80 million rand share, and we have divided that in terms of quarters. Chairperson, for us to be in a position to do this, we've also identified the key risk areas for us and aligning them to our strategic objectives. One of the challenges that we are faced with is to really commercialize as fast as possible and be able to generate revenue in order for us to meet one of our strategic initiatives of revenue generation. So one of the risks that we identify is the slow pace of commercialization of products and services and inability to meet a market effectively. If market is looking for a certain product and then we are not able to provide that. The mitigation measures, Chair, as indicated, one is to come up with marketing strategies to close to the customers. We have identified strategic partners to work with and also having to have agreements and do perception surveys as well, working very closely with the department, with also National Treasury, and also looking at our commercialization model to ensure that we move faster and we're flexible in meeting the needs of the customers out there or starting to engage with different partners. The other area, Chair, that is also a risk is the competitors that are coming in. And with that, we want to also play a very critical role in coming up with products and services for the whole of the continent, because we notice that there are competitors that are coming in. And also being a strategic in influencing the international agenda. Looking at financial sustainability, Chair, the issue of inadequate funds, as you've seen with the strategy with the board, is that how do we make sure that we're getting resources not only from government, look for other sources, diversifying our revenues and our initiatives into getting to that. So those are things that we're looking at, Chair. And also looking at our cost of generating the information, managing our infrastructure and also products. The infrastructure, Chair, the area where we do will get exposed in terms of the risk is ICT, where the technology is advancing all the time. So it's one of the areas that we are looking at very closely, Chair, and also see mobilization of these resources, reviewing our ICT master plan as well. The other area that we have noted that sometimes we do have challenges is poor service delivery by our key service providers. For example, if you look at electricity, telecommunication, observation network, and maintenance. So we are having negotiated discussions with our service providers so that they look at us as an essential service, and also looking at some of the things where we'll be looking at also renewable energy and also improving on our business continuity management plan as well. Attraction and retention, Chair, I've discussed the initiatives in terms of the programs that we have in place. And the other area, Chair, that is important for us, some of our infrastructure is in very remote areas, very, very remote areas, and issue of security becomes an issue. So we're looking at having mechanisms where we can have automated systems that will look at security. While you are at head office, you know exactly what is happening with the radar on automatic weather station in a very remote area. That is an area that we are also looking at in terms of managing our risk. I've talked a lot about our stakeholder engagement. We do have a lot of stakeholders, but we've got to look at the matrix of making sure that those key stakeholders are also working very closely with them. For growth and development, Chairperson, one of the challenges is that the information that we have, we need to be using, and issues of succession plan is very important because a knowledge institution depends on its people. So we need to be managing that very closely. And the other area that we are promoting is the area of innovation. As an organization, we need to be developing that culture of innovation, whether we are innovating in terms of the processes, the products, how we do business, how we interact. So those are some of the targets, and having awards for programs like that, those are the initiatives that we are putting in place, Chair. And the other one, Chair, is the issue of limited resources. We have identified that. We are developing initiatives to address that and diversifying our activities, Chair. What you've also done, Chair, before I give over to our CFO to do the presentation on financials, we've looked at the different objectives, different goals. We've got 5 goals. And goal number one, as noted, it has got a lot of activities compared to the other ones. Goal number one, over the period, we'll be spending 177.8 million in 2015-16. By 2020, we'll be spending 241 million in terms of our activities, so that we address what we have put in terms of our strategy, providing the products to the communities, the services, and all that. The next one, Chair, is the capability and capacity. We are moving from 43 million to 58 million by 2020. Engagement of stakeholders from 13.8 million to 18.8 million. And research and development is an area over time that we'll start to be looking at it very closely. At the moment, we have an expenditure of 5 million by year 2020, 7.4 million. However, members, it should be indicated, it's one of the areas where we're going to be looking at collaborating with other research institutions. So it might not be money, but it might be money that is coming from another institution but doing the work and generating. And then the last one is for us to be able to make money, we need to spend a little bit of money. Growth and sustainability, we're spending 44 million, and by year 2020, 60 million. Thank you very much. I'll give over to our CFO to talk about the financials. Okay.
Chairperson, Honourable Members, the strategy always questions us, the strategy follow budget or budget strategy. Usually the strategist wants to argue that strategy first, budget second. And the financial people usually say the strategy gets probably narrowed down depending on the availability of funds. And I think that's why what Nancy tried to see on present is so important, because for one to actually true, that it's a funded strategy, that all the activities which the CEO highlighted are funded and linked, and these budgets are drawn down to the vision who's the implementing agents of those particular achievements. Therefore, when you look at our total budget for the next 5 financial years, which is aligned to the strategy, this represents the current financial year. The next 3 years is for the E&E, Estimates of National Expenditure, and the outer year, or we call it the projected year, 1920, is an estimate that what we will probably present during our next submission, that has not formally been awarded in the E&E. Then when you look at the first portion, the operational grant, members will see that there's quite a significant increase from the 135.5 in 15-16 to the 189.278 million in 16-17. Now members who were present in the previous presentation of SOAR's budget would remember that SOAR received a budgetary reduction of 20 million in 2014-15 and again another 20 million in 15-16. Therefore, if one takes that 40 million, which we're very thankful was repaid during the 16-17 financial year, we received an additional 40 million, the payback of money taken off the budget previously, and we had to give approximately 5 million back because of a request from National Treasury to reduce the CR budget in totality. So therefore, if one takes the 35 million then net on top of the operational grant, the increase is 4.86 year on year, that is excluded. Then it's assumed that the year thereafter it drops slightly with 0.42 from 189.27 to 188.49. Now, what this means for us as an organization is that unfortunately we can't embark with this repayment of 35 million in recurring expenditure. We need to spend it as a write-off during the financial year 16-17. And that explains the increase if one looks at admin and operating costs, the line over here, that went up from 94.186 to 118.59 million. That means that for once we can actually do a maintenance work on our radar to actually also link to a strategy for improvement of availability of radars and maintenance, etc. But we can't incur recurring expenditure so much as we would have liked to. Fortunately, in the years thereafter, for 2015-16 and 2016-17, the organization has received no CAPEX grants. Fortunately, for 2017-18, we've received a much needed 35 million and a 37.030 as a CAPEX grant, and we're hoping to receive a 40 million in the outer year, which will present going forward. That brings our total revenue for the year to 341,356. Thereafter increased with approximately 11.5 because of the 35 million of CAPEX grant to 380 million. Thereafter increased with approximately 6.8% to 406 due to mainly the increase in the CAPEX grant of 37 million. The year thereafter we've proposed or projected a modest increase of 5% from the 406 to the 427. When we look at our personnel expenditure, it remains fairly stable. There is in this year a slight increase from that of the previous year to full frozen position and to give a reasonable increase. Thereafter it remains stable because the operational grant increase is not substantial to also make provision for new positions to be added to the approved organogram. Therefore, our total expenditure is reflected in this line, and in essence, we project a zero surplus or a deficit, and members might question the surplus in 17, 18, 19, and 20. And then you will see that that amount of the surplus projected here is the equivalent of the CAPEX grant to be received. And the reason for that is that we don't send this as an expenditure, it gets reflected on the balance sheet as assets being purchased. Therefore, one needs to show that there's a net surplus on the income statement. Then after the non-cash depreciation and amortization, there's a minimal non-cash deficit projected for the first 2 years and the middle 2 years, a small surplus of 4.7 million and 5.2 million respectively. Then just to also link, if one looks at the total expenditure line here, 341,354, just to show how it links back, members would see that it's linked here to the total expenditure on the previous slide presented by the CEO and his per strategic activities across the organization. Thank you
very much, members. In conclusion, we will continue to engage stakeholders and encourage collaboration, strategic partnerships, and better understanding of the requirements, and in order for us to do research that will assist in creating the necessary solutions. And we can't do that without the knowledge and the infrastructure. Human capital and the infrastructure is very important to us. So as enablers of our strategies, these are the key activities that we'll be dealing with in the next 5 years. Baya Dangi, Dear Lebuha, thank you very much. Nice to be. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that presentation. Do we have additions from both the entity and the department?
Thank you very much. The same principles that were raised in the presentation by the department on Tuesday, the cost-cutting measure would later have to revise at some point what is achievable both between the department and the entities. As I indicated, part of the task had to be spread between the department and the public entity. And so has indicated for this year what that cut is, but if we are going to have to make more cuts because of the projections that we receive from Treasury, then we still have to pass them on to the entity. So that will then be calling on us to re-look at the commitments in terms of what is to be delivered in output and outcome. But I think in summary, from the presentation both by the CEO and the CFO, the grant is not growing. Yes, there's been a little bit of growth from the commercial aviation income, but as you also appreciate, honorable members, the aviation income is also going to continue to go down because of other factors that are impacting to the aviation industry, fuel costs and so on and so on. So those matters we keep discussing between ourselves and the entity, which is the weather service in this case. And the air quality information system gets a separate allocation, which is why when the CFO was presenting issues, she was showing them more the what is referred to as the operational grant, and excluding the air quality information system, but there are indicative figures in terms of what will be transferred over the MTF period in order to maintain the air quality information system that is housed by the weather services on behalf of the department. Thank you very much.
Dr. Makulem, I take it that SOS has a particular role that is far much different from other entities, and we should be able to acknowledge that. Far much different to the extent that some of the services provided by it we may not as a country afford to even scale down. I personally have gone through the strategic plan as well as your APP, and I just, even before I allow members to raise their questions, bring your attention to two critical ones. On page 17 of the strategic plan, Doctor, your own document, on the second paragraph, the third line, says that climate variability, including the increased frequency and intensity of extreme weather events, poses one of the greatest threats to sustainable development. Now, with these extremes, I don't think we'll expect budget cuts in Africa. When you go to page 24, the first paragraph, the last line, sentence, says current funding is significantly below what is required, not but one sentence. Should the current scenario continue, the nation would fail to achieve economic growth aspirations with a significant weather-sensitive component. I'm saying whatever we do, whatever we want to try and deal with, we should be able to look at other ways other than perhaps affecting the serious role that SOAS does have. We will still come to questions, but I wanted you to be sensitive around those. In fact, my view, Dr. McCullen, is that on page 16, the last paragraph there, you're saying among key mechanisms for systematically linking NDP priorities and SOAS programs is the Global Framework for Climate Change. In addition to the national implementation of the GFCS, there are specific climate and weather-related opportunities for SOAS to support the implementation of the NDP directly. My view is not just opportunity. It's responsibilities and obligations that we have to support the NDP. It's not about opportunities. Yes, you can take opportunities in that regard, but it's more your responsibility and of obligations that you need to do. Now, we come to the questions, and so let me allow members to raise their questions. And I've seen Honorable Kekana, Honorable Edwards, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Marie, in that order. Over to you.
Yes, thank you, I just want to read this to the what is the impact of this year budget on the target that's set for our current financial year? And again, which are those targets that would be affected the most of any thinking?
Honorable Edward.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got a couple of questions. Please tell me if I'm asking you wrong or if you need more clarity. I spoke to a couple of people, I won't say the experts, but people like that know what's going on in the weather and so on. And some people said to me that the drought that we're facing now happens every so many years, apparently. Could SOAS have done, first let me ask this, what did SOAS do to prepare government for what is coming? And do you maybe think SOAS could have done more or less or something different? Or I don't know. This is just for clarity. And then during the presentation, CEO, you said about technology and revenue generation, and you spoke about specifically those two. I want to ask a question about. And what is SOAS doing to keep up with the new technology? Because I mean, sometimes it just goes so fast that you can't keep up and it's more and more expensive. So then linking that with the revenue generation, which you mentioned in the slide, how are you generating specifically with keeping in mind keeping up with technology and the expenses of that? I mean, because you look at simple stuff like iPhones or iPads, how expensive they are. If you think about proper mechanisms and mechanics to do these kind of things, I think they're millions, gazillions. And then one last one. You mentioned advertising and the cost of it and so on. In the world that we live in today, everything's gone social media. Everything's gone technology, you know. Don't you think it will be a little bit less expensive if you focus more on either radio, like repeating, because that is a much cheaper medium, and then also social media? I mean, there's so many platforms. It's not just Twitter and Facebook anymore. It's literally it's endless. There's the possibilities. I think I'll stop there. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Honorable Nyambi.
Thank you, Chair. That's a lot of information from the Honorable. But some of the questions have been asked by the other colleagues. But I want to know, in terms of the employees that are in the entity, they've got 411 employees. What are the categories in terms of the females and males, in terms of the race? We look at the target that we are having for 2016, 2017, but what do you know, what is the position at now? And also, this entity, it needs private technology. How the recruitment is going to be done for the people to love this entity so that they can take part for the future of our country. And also the other one is that looking at the budget cuts, which goals are not going to be achieved and what the program will place in order to reach at the point that all the targets are achieved in the future.
Honorable Mavi.
No, thanks, Chair, for the presentation. That shows quite detailed, comprehensive. It gives us a sense of the direction the source is taking. First of all, Chair, as the first question I was going to pose was obviously going to be what was going to be the implication for the diminishing funding, increased program response in a certain funding model. But the DGS has responded to that. My first question would be that the SOS has now been given a mandate around air quality monitoring information. Now the question that I want to ask is the time frame allocated to what CEO was referring to, the real-time air quality was very important that I was interested in that. What is the time frame? I note in relation to the grant of source that you have come from all other members, but I'm not sure whether in the deep rural areas the grant of source and the footprint of source is there, which you need. So if the CEO can comment on, Yambi has covered me around the CEO's development. But what I don't get, I know you'll be working with other institutions to address the shortage of skills in weather and climate change. At this specific university, I'm always interested in that. Higher education, which institutions will you be working with? And it's also testing on the relevant seekers for funding for students and so forth. Now, in relation to the impact of climate change, extreme drought, agriculture, food security, disturbance like cities. Here you are not definitive. You are saying that this calls for development and provision for innovation products. At least you are not definitive. You say it calls. Not action up. Futuristic. The question that I want to pose is, why are you not actualizing it? Because it's critical. Because it's like a resolution. It's a political cause. Not action or meeting. I would suggest, depending on the response, that it can be a target and not a target, but an action act as opposed to calls, open end, and take 5 years, 10 years, etc. The two last ones here will be the growth revenue stream, chief financial officer. I'd like just to get a projection, if possible, and the target. But in your presentation on the one slide, you're not going to say. Last year, it will be the positioning of source as a relevant meteorological institution and given the status of regional training center in Africa and so forth. I just want to get what is the actual state of affairs in terms of input, in terms of output, and what is the situation. how many potential students are you attracting? What is the ratio? I see your in terms of your core drivers, your personnel, non-personnel. This is for the suicide as well. The 40-50. What is the ratio? Your personnel expenditure and your non-personnel expenditure. Very well, sir. I appreciate the potential and the chance.
Thanks, Member Form, those questions. May I add mine, Dr. I also have got those rights to pose a few questions as well. There was supposed to be an establishment of the Climate Change Center in 2015. Has it been established? Who's the lead department? You'll come to that, I think, to clarify. I'm just interested on the fact that DG, if the entity may not be aware exactly what is the progress in that. When you made your presentation and on the APP, the document, not your presentation, the APP file, on page 86, you're referring to the one wind farm, and I know also there's a solar one, but also that you have got the solar atlas as well as the wind atlas that is supposed to be monitored. Now, 2016-17, there's nothing that you are going to be doing. You say not the objective. What could be the issue there? And as the issue, who's supposed to be maintaining and monitoring that? I thought it's your entity that should do that, not necessarily the farms themselves, but you're supposed to be assisting them in that particular regard, and you can share with us what the situation is like. In terms of the ATP again, on the employment issue, particularly with regard to gender, to teenage employees or women, you're maintaining it at 40% and 42% for the coming 3 years. Why is it like that? Why do you have to maintain a state of quo? Because it can easily rise. Why do you want to just maintain it as if you can't achieve more than that in the coming years? Are you taking a decision now that your target will be 14, 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, and so on? Because that may be problematic. And that is on page 49, I think you know your APP. And then on the APP, page 65, you're talking about 14 publications. And 2014-15, that was 28 articles in scientific publication. 15-16 was 14 articles. Now within 14 next year, it will be, in the next financial year, it will be 17-18. Why the tip now? Why do you go down targeting 14? What may be the challenges that you're facing in that regard? We know that your responsibilities are that of a subject nature in some of the areas that you do your work. It's not necessarily solely in South Africa. You're doing that kind of work for our neighbors, neighboring countries who may not have capacity to do some of these. Is this budget taking that into consideration? Because the failure to know what is going on
is in Mozambique, Swaziland, Lesotho, and Namibia, Botswana, and that it affects South Africa as well. And we end up having to take that responsibility ourselves to deal with that. The last one for now is the challenge between the commercial product versus the public good of the services that we are doing. Ordinarily, as a public entity, your core business is supposed to be the public good. And the commercial products that you, or services that you provide, are supposed to be self-funded. And at times more than the public good. What is the situation now? Are they sustainable on their own? So that you don't take the public money to do the work for the commercial product, which may not be sustainable, or is not able to fund itself. The very last, you're talking about vulnerable communities that should develop that weather resilience, and you must assist them in this particular region. How big is the challenge? Are you able to reach out to all of them, or you mostly are focusing on the commercial communities of farmers? Because most of this information may not be reaching out to those in rural areas if we are not careful. We may end up being an entity that serves those who are already big and can actually develop other measures to resist the challenge. But there are mostly the vulnerable communities in rural areas who are highly affected by climate change and other conditions. Are you able to reach out to those and giving them information that is readily available to commercial farmers and those elite who are able on their own to can even finance to do some kind of work? I think I'll leave it there. Let's get the responses, and if there are follow-up questions, members will come back later. Whichever way the arrangement should be, whether it's the entity first and then
thanks, Chair. Let me start. I'm not sure whether the colleagues, the CEO and executive from Weather Services would send their response to the other questions. I will deal with the one that relates to the establishment of the climate center. Honourable members, this is in government led by the Department of Science and Technology. And as a department, we are then working with them. So it's not driven by the South African Weather Services. And we can give you an update once we consolidate the latest progress with the Department of Science and Technology. But it is in the context of our climate change response capabilities as a country. Secondly, Honourable Member, you were also asking about the wind farms, solar farms. Weather Services is not involved with the running of those. Let's to say they provide information about the extent which there would be wind reliability for certain areas of the country. So that knowledge is what they are competent in providing. And then lastly, I think I would also ask Thuli to come in just when I finish on the matter of air quality health index. But the earlier comments that the Honourable Chair made regarding the aspirations that are outlined in the strategic plan and what the country can afford to reduce on versus what the country cannot afford to reduce on. I think we agree that the mandate of the Weather Service has got a lot for the country in respect of providing public good service. However, they go with quite serious costs. And as the other member was also saying in respect of investments that are required, and the CEO had implored us, I think, in her presentation around the importance of investments in infrastructure and human resources, or more on the scientists. If you don't have appropriate infrastructure, no investments in the scientists and the capability for people that would interpret data, because what you need in that infrastructure is not roads, but radars that help them with the forecasting, including what in the recent past when Treasury had that cut of 20 million, which the CFO was referring to, which we had agreed in our discussion was a priority because we had already made an investment in at least upgrading radar infrastructure. Now, with an upgrade, it's like when you have a new computer but your software is the old software, you will not then maximize the capability of that infrastructure. So they needed a high performance computer to be invested in, which is where, in essence, even within the department, we then decided to reprioritize after the Treasury cut the budget for that investment to make sure that they still made the investment in order for them to then make use of that new infrastructure in a manner that would benefit the country most. And lastly, as I mean, comment again on the infrastructure, the country can make the choice on public goods. But we stay with the old infrastructure, then you would have to do the forecast for 5-10 days, not have real-time information. That is a choice. If you want to be modernized as a country and be able to provide information on a regular basis in terms of weather forecasting, then the forecasters can do their job much better for the country and for the various sectors that they're servicing, whether it's the aviation sector, the agriculture sector, and so on. So we, at the time of making the decision, at the time with the weather services as a department, we were saying we want them to be able to provide, like, the more, they call it what now, casting capability and make those investments. And again, I don't know what the latest is in terms of what, and they would be able to respond to the changing technological requirements. So at the same time, the entity has to make a choice on where it spends most of its money or those limited and available resources. And I was talking about the importance of infrastructure, and if as a country we're not making that investment, and the entity is unable to make that investment, it means we're taking the choice of then allowing them to give us old information that is not as useful in terms of our preparedness, both in terms of adapting to climate change and also planning for preventative measures that are required by society. And lastly, in respect again of scientists, they take time. I mean, it's the same discussion that we had when we were presenting the department's APP and strategic plan around scientists in the oceans and the branch in terms of program tree. We were saying senior scientists, the old senior scientists that are being phased out because they are retiring. You need to then start bringing in new scientists, but you don't wait until the old scientists have exited. You need to bring them early in order for them, one, to be understudied, but at the same time to give them time to do the research. Because scientists, as a field of science, you prove yourself through publications and other scientific research that you undertake over a longer period of time. So there must be enough lead time, which mostly is not less than 5 years, as a minimum of 5-10 years. So that is the stage in terms of what would inform. And I think as the portfolio committee and parliament that pass our budgets, the choices that you also drive us to would then inform how those resources, limited resources, are being utilized by the entity and even by the department. So the responsibilities and obligations are outlined in the law that sets up the South African Weather Service, and as we reduce the budgets, we need to also bear in mind how far can they go in respect of public good and their reliance on private or commercial activities. The more they need to raise money from commercial activities, the less they are able to also provide public, because what they sell out, they will sell that information, and therefore the public would not necessarily have the benefit of getting it for free, because you can't sell it when you give it free for others. So we need to have that formula of subsidizing the public good aspect at the same time enable the raising of resources from the sale of information and innovation that they generate.
Thank you very much, DG. I think some of the questions that have been raised is...
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I think perhaps just before I answer the question on the time frame of the real-time air quality index, I must explain what it takes to get there. The Weather Service is currently upgrading the circuits, because what you need before you can do the real-time index is to get the monitoring stations that are government-owned reporting live to the circuits, and then you can have an index that then has those behavioral messages informing the public about the state of air in real-time and what needs to be done. Perhaps also to add that real-time index needs to be, the messaging in the real-time index needs to be approved by both the DG and the minister before it can go out. So at the moment, the Weather Services have started upgrading the circuits, which is the platform for ambient air quality monitoring and the website. And we expect that by the end of the financial year 2017-18, we will be able to report live the state of air and the messaging according to the air quality index. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think with some of the questions, I will also distribute as I go through the answers to get the executives to assist. When we are developing the budget, Chair, working very closely also with the department and also with the board, we have tried for the coming year, even this year that we are in, to really cut our activity based on the amount of money that we do have. We envisage that the targets that have been set will be met based on the budget that is available. So in terms of the strategy, that is what we have done. Hence, we have such a slide that is indicating each strategy goal and the financials around that strategy goal for this coming year. The area, Chair, that we cannot give guarantee is the area of commercialization, where we are selling products out there. We might meet the target based on this, or we can overachieve based on the economic conditions out there. And it has been the area where we have, even in the past, have not met the budget as we should. However, with aviation, we have managed to look at our activity costing and the activity of aviation to actually meet the target, and in some area to over-recover. As the DG indicated, with aviation, we have reached the plateau. What will happen also in the future, depending on the number of flights and the activity in the aviation industry, we might achieve or maybe have not 100% achievement. So those are the
she has two key areas. And I think with the board, we also have paid a lot of focus on infrastructure, the radars, and lightning detection network, and also the air quality, working very closely with the department around the air quality. Coming to the question around the drought that the country faced, over the period, the weather service provides the information. We do provide the long-term information. We do provide medium-term. And as also the DG indicated, we provide now castings. We're also part of the team in terms of the disaster management, where we continuously provide that information in there. And I think we can add to that. But what we've also done to go an extra mile as well in terms of the information is to look at climate scenarios for the provinces. That is the additional information now that we're providing. And the drought committee that meets often, we also present that and starting to say, let's look at what is happening now, but let's look at the scenario so that when the provinces are planning during their disaster management plans, they factor in the climate scenarios that we are doing at the moment. I think last time we presented some of the scenarios for the provinces to the portfolio committee. Coming to the issue of technology, indeed technology is advancing quicker. Hence, in terms of our strategy, one of our key pillars is collaboration and strategic partnership and joint venture. Last time when we were here, I think that we didn't have enough time. We wanted to present one of the technologies where we have partners, where we are coming with a solution for water affairs, where we're looking at the rainfall, where we use the data that we have as a platform in terms of the provision of that information using the website. So we started to do that, to look for partners where they are doing a lot of software development with us. If we were to do it internally, it would take us 10 years to do that. But they are already ahead in doing that work. We work with them, we've got the information, the other information, and we are actually doing that. Chairperson, in the future, will come and also present that technology. I must thank our government and the department. We have spent money on the radars. We have spent 250 million rands on upgrading our technology in terms of the radars. We have spent more than 35 million rands recently on our high-performance computer. And the reason why when you see information that is provided on television and anywhere else, it's so real. If we say it's going to rain, it's going to rain. It's because of this technology that we are providing as a country and making sure, like the DG has indicated, that a country can make a choice of saying, let's stay with the old technology. Then we know that the now passing, the information that is required now, to understand the lightning and what is happening won't be done. But for so far, even with our lightning detection network that we have put in place, it's one of the best in the continent. But that needs maintenance. That is the challenge that we all face with. And I think we should be proud of South Africans that our country is really providing in that area. Coming to the issue of the social media, Chair, we've been busy with approving our commercial strategy. Social media is one of the areas that we are looking at. In terms of the objectives that we've set, we are also working with other media like the print. We're also working closely with radio. But what we're trying to do, instead of placing an advertisement for the weather service, we negotiate to have an article. And we don't pay for that article, but we get the space. So if we're going to pay R1 million, we don't pay R1 million, but we pay in terms of the information that we have. So it's a give and take with the journalists and the media. Recently, we are hosting the press club, where we're going to have the media. We talk about what's going to happen in the next 6 months and what are the real issues. So we try and we don't have the money, but we've got the knowledge. So we interact in terms of that knowledge. Moving to the goal around that kind of thing. Chairperson, around the brand and the footprint of the organization, the rural area, yes, sir, we agree. We are not reaching as much as we should.
One of the initiatives that we've done over the last few years is to also appoint liaison officers in the region, in the offices in the region. But obviously, it's only one person. So that person cannot reach a lot of people. So we're trying with the little that we have, and with also this. It is an area when we're presenting the strategy of saying we need to start looking at, strategically looking at different communities as they are challenged with a different severe weather events based on the like the atlases that we have as well, so that it gives us, so that we do have focus with the limited resources that we have. I think Dr. Vienna may also add on some of the activities that we're busy with. We've got a strategy that we've put in there, so we're going to work with the community workers from TPSS to target a bigger group of people. So we started that project. With the academic institutions, Chair, what we decided to do, we've been working very closely with the University of Pretoria for a number of years. So we decided to have MOU. We do have an MOU with the University of Pretoria, but we also started targeting the university, the rural universities, like the University of Fort Hare, the universities, and all of those, University of KwaZulu-Natal, where we target them for different specific activities. The Free State is good in agriculture. We partner with them on AgroMet, KwaZulu-Natal Atmospheric Science. We pay these bursaries that we pay. We spread the students in those universities. We just signed now an MOU with the University of Perth. We also have a working relationship with the University of Northwest, where they are also specialists in the areas of radar, which we don't. So we try to work with a number of different universities in terms of our strategy. Linking that positioning of weather service, I think, Kanita, you will also respond on the regional center, the numbers and the activities in terms of the training internally and also the training outside. We also do have get some funds from one of the tutors for the bursaries on a yearly basis and the internship programs that we have. So we work with them on that. Looking at innovation, it looks as though we're going to go back and recraft that, but it looks as a statement that we believe that in everything that we do, we need to be innovative. Because even the processes that we have, if you do not have enough money, you need to relook at your processes and make them much easier and more efficient. So our research and development, the research work that they do, they're also looking at enhancing what the forecasters are doing on a day-to-day basis. For example, if you look at forecasting now, it's not enough to say it's going to rain or it's not going to rain, but what is the impact if you are an onion farmer? So in terms of your processes and your models, you need to look at it that way. But also in terms of the innovation at the moment, we are saying we need to have more of the strategic partners that are advancing in technology. We also work very well with the med service in the UK in terms of doing modeling. So we try to combine those. Probably that statement we need to be, if you look at goal number one is talking about these products and services that we're coming up with, but in a more innovative, manner. CFO, you respond on the revenue and also the ratios as well. And Panisa on the net positioning in the region. Then the other question, Chair, I think we've noted the comments, Chair, around the opportunities in terms of national development plan, but also our responsibility. In responding to the national development plan, specifically the chapter that talks about education, we have consciously sat down and said, what is it that we need to do in responding to the climate change response policy and together to that? Because with the climate change response policy, you need people who are skilled to do the work. So we have contacted a number of municipalities working together with the universities, coming up with a plan of saying how many probably
air quality specialists who be required, meteorologists other than the ones for the weather service that can be going to the provinces. Members, if it's okay to you, Chair, we can also provide that detailed document with the details around that plan which we're talking about as well. Dealing with also the vulnerable communities and also commercialization, as the DG indicated, it becomes a balancing issue and a challenge when you've got commercialization and you also have the public good. But at the moment, the revenue that is generated from getting the grant and also commercial is around 50-50. And when you work with knowledge workers, it becomes a challenge sometimes to look at commercialization because they are more of providing the science part. So we are busy looking at juggling between those two activities at the moment. It's a healthy, I would say it's a healthy conflict that we are dealing with, which we cannot run away from. But however, our responsibility is also towards the public good. We do have some challenges in terms of change of culture. Because we work with people who are knowledge, not commercial people. So you find that it will take longer. Hence, we're looking for partners that can also commercialize our products. The question around the publication structure, 28 to 14, one of the things is that with some of the scientists that have been with us for a long time, you find that they are in a position to write publication quicker than the young ones that are coming. So within the organization, we also have a lot of young scientists that are coming up, and some of the scientists have also moved to other institutions. So we wanted to be realistic when we set up the targets. And in previously, some of the targets, that 24 also included some presentations at international conferences and all that, not only just on the publication. Now the other thing with the publications that we want to come with, what we say our strategy wants to be a knowledge generating institution. Our publication, if we say we're targeting water, health and agriculture, our publication should be talking to those sectors. It should not only be something that maybe the scientists are so fond of. So we want to also strategically, when we look at the publication, and with the equity share, the 40 and the 42 share, as indicated with our capacity, we try to get 50-50. Some of the, we had a challenge in the country in terms of science and technology, where we have less women in the field in general. So with our strategy, we bring them in with bursaries, but it also takes a number of years before they finish school and they come finish their degrees. Hence, we've got that clear period where we are realistic, when we say 50%. Then after that, the number is going to go up because those who have finished their degrees and are joining the organization. I must say, in terms of the equity targets, out of that 144, at top level, we've got 5 managers, 80% is females and 20% males. So it's, at senior management level, we've got a percentage where there is, it should be, the males are actually, it's 9 out of 29 senior managers which are females. And in middle management, we've got females 27%, females, and in semi-skills, we have 58% females. However, the area that Shepherdson, that we are focusing on in terms of also our strategy, is the senior management and the middle management, where we need to build. But at the top management, because you don't only need scientists, you need people with other skills, we're able to get the target quicker. I'll give over to the CFO and then... Okay. And Kilo will also add to the publication.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to speak around the publication, but it can take up to 3 years to publish a journal article, and it's actually an external process that is not managed by the entity. And so I think that the numbers of articles that can go out is also affected by that, because it also depends on the integrity of that journal itself, which we call ethical in the science space.
That's why I said that point, and the demographics in terms of young scientists or the cellular transformation categories, how is it looking like?
I thank you very much. It's one area that the organization is really passionate about. In terms of Africans within the organization in totality, we've got 68.5%, and in totality females 39%, and males 60%. But if you look at the age group within the organization, we've got a lot of young scientists that are in their late 20s, early 30s. So over the period we've managed, remember when we started the process of attracting, it started in 2007, and there's a lot of young scientists that have been coming. So one of the issues that we are dealing with now is that you do have the young scientists, but over time you need the depth that is required to actually do the work. So we've got a number of young scientists within the organization. The organization is probably when we do visit to see us with young people. Increase, or the ratio increase, is that staff costs
every year increase because of an annual increase of staff cuts without necessarily increase the number of staff. So it's almost like a contractual agreement there, and we don't see the same rise in revenue. Therefore, the ratio increases slightly. It's not because of more staff or exceptional high increases. It's because of the revenue not showing the same trend of increase.
Are you talking about this?
I'm reminding you of the last question that you raised around cost subsidization, making sure that the commission is not subsidized by the public good funds.
Thank you, Chair, for that question. Yes, we do contributes to commercial activities. We get estimated time, for example, spent on commercial activities. We get estimated time spent on government goods projects, or public goods projects, and time spent on aviation projects. And we make sure that we almost compartmentalize those activities, or the cost of those activities, to be funded by the relevant revenue. The model for aviation is a cost recovery model, so we make sure that all parts of the time again with regard to aviation is recovered in the tariff that is charged to them. We also, from commercial activities, recently employed a commercial executive. I think there's a new energy to actually relook at our products and say these products are not profitable, but are they good in terms of value add? So let's see how we balance the basket of our commercial products to enable the child to sell their products with a marginal revenue or a profit.
I think the last question that maybe Miguel can add on is the drought, the how our contribution in terms of the drought monitoring.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, on the drought, we actually issue advisory. It also talks to the question, what did we do, you know, to advise the government? We issued the advisory, we issued warnings. For example, with this El Nino, the advisory was more emphasizing the potential of its impact. It was issued mid-August last year already, following other advisory. I think the only thing that we need to enhance around that, Honorable Chair, is the awareness that now it is the current drought, which is the most severe drought of the refugees, that has created more awareness. So we are piggybacking on that. We are also now part of the National Drought Monitoring Committee that meets every Monday. So every Monday we present the outlook, the weather forecast, and we even also look at long-term projections up to the end of the century. And then that National Drought Monitoring Committee that is meeting every Monday, it reports to the Interministerial Task Team. Our minister is also a member of that Interministerial Task Team. I think that's all I can share. But also, just on the provincial scenarios that the CEO has mentioned, we look also at the needs of individual provinces. Some provinces, they need climate change scenarios at level. Some they need climate change scenarios at municipality level. So we generate those as those needs. Thank you, Chair.
Members, probably we have come to an end unless there are follow-ups. Honorable Sobongwane, you as well are welcome, and you may raise questions if you do have. Honorable Mabit.
So you say the EU has requested a question. I think the official, the was around the training. The president here asked me to say, it has not been responded.
Thank you, Chief.
with the regional training center, with it being the RCC that was actually accredited for the next six, for the next 5 years by TTCT, as well as being recognized by the World Meteorological Organization, it basically means that even in terms of the training that we're able to facilitate, it meets the international standards. So I'll just talk to the output in the past 6 years. We've been able to train 97 officers as well as 134 med technicians. And it should be noted that some of those med technicians and focusers were actually for the SADC countries. So what we're actually doing now is to develop a marketing plan whereby we're trying to position RTC, regional training centers, and apologies, to actually dominate even outside of South Africa in terms of the training that we'll be able to facilitate. And that's also supported by the development of the National Education Plan, which was developed from SOAS for purposes of developing a national pool in as far as the skills that are required to achieve the 2030 vision of the country. And also in terms of the retention, I think even with the competencies that have been and the retention level as well is able to speak volumes, because with the skills we're able to retain them and they continue to become ambassadors for the organization and actually are assisting even when we go for career awareness days out there to be able to make sure that we position SOAS as the employer of choice, as well as the careers within SOAS's career choices within the relevant communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of, I think with that regional training center, there was also a question in terms of the limitation. At the moment, but it's not a limitation for the future, at this moment, what is limiting us in expanding further is the space that we have for the number of students that can be trained with the facility and the computers that we have. So that is the limitation. But looking forward, as we build the facility for the weather service, that will be factored in, that we expand, because countries other than in the SADC are interested. The other area that South Africa is very good at, and our regional training center, we're also developing modules. It's around competencies for aviation focuses. South Africa, we are doing very well there, and also in terms of the planet. Chairperson, there was also a question that you also raised around our obligations in terms of the national development plan. That area, Chair, we are working around that, and there's also around the challenges that we might be faced with also in the future in terms of the public good. Chairperson, one of the things that but we are doing that, working with the National Framework for Climate Services, because the public good that is required now, it requires us to integrate with other institutions. Some of them, they are not within the ambit of the Department of Environmental Affairs, which we need to work very closely with, and maybe sourcing co-funding with those institutions as well. Thank you, Chair.
We welcome your presentation, and I think members seem to be happy with the responses. However, we need to indicate that the daunting challenge that is facing the country and your entity and all other entities is that you should achieve both profit and non-profit imperatives without compromising the goals of a developmental state. Now, you must be able to do more with less without having to come here and we lament about the cutting of finances and so on and so on. That is a story that everybody will raise, but we are no longer interested in that. We want to understand what you are able to do in the current or given circumstances.
what is it that we are able to do? And what we were raising earlier, DJ in particular, was that insofar as we will be doing the CAF, there are particular services that are provided by SOS in particular that, to me, has to be very difficult to even want to downscale. Well, whatever you do, but we'll want to see particular services being maintained. For instance, you did not see or respond to your challenges that you have to face at subject level and so on. But we know that you are also in that phase, and if we have to cut some of these funds in some of the programs, we may have difficulty to deal with that, including resolving the energy challenge. Your responsibilities in terms of making sure that the renewable energy is enhanced, be it solar, wind, and all of that, taking the potential that is there in terms of the wind energy and so on, advising whoever is to deal with that, in collaboration with science and technology and all, you cannot at some point downscale that kind of a responsibility. So we want you to continue with that. It can't be a one-off activity. It must be an ongoing kind of an activity that we'll have to do. Some of the issues that we need the details on, you'll be able to talk to us during your quarterly reports and so on. It may not be for today. We won't engage in that particular exercise. But when we were interested in the demographics in terms of young scientists and so on, we want to understand young African scientists in particular and black scientists generally. How are they sharing and all of that? That information should come through. But that speaks to our transformation in the country and so on. And I don't think members have accepted that you are being realistic to maintain your women in management and so on and so on. That status quo 40-42, we are not accepting that. Because you can't focus on those that you are training alone. It means even if you were to get critical skills even beyond the country, you won't do that because you are still waiting for some people who are to graduate at some point. What if they don't even graduate? You know, but I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just saying, I'm not being negative. They will graduate, wishing them well. But we're just saying that as we do that, some activities must be carried out. So where we need to have that, let's do it. Let's get those who can come in, who have to advance and so on, even those who are not within the bazaar scheme. And as well as that, the career guidance issue should be a big issue that we also have to make sure that even those in the most rural areas have to know these particular careers that are offered by SOS. Because most people don't even know that there are opportunities there. They focus elsewhere. Now, we can't say continuously that we're lacking skills, capabilities in that area when we are not able to recruit widely in the country, particularly those in the periphery, not in urban areas, those who can, or are children of some of you because you are in this space, so you know what is required. Some of the people don't even know what is available. So we need to reach out and talk to them. It's not an issue for today, but I'm saying, whatever you do, reach out to all the schools. Yes, you can't give everybody a bazaar, it's fine. But some people can afford it. It's only that they don't know what is to happen and so on. I would want to take this opportunity to thank you for your presentation and having been able to make it here. Members, what we'll do, we'll then stick to the program. Because I have said that we'll now take some parts. But then it's like there's a request that we stick to the program and have Ismangaliso having to make that presentation before sunset. And I think even in terms of our time, we may need to do that. We have wanted the bigger ones first, and then later deal with Ismangalis. But there's no problem in getting Ismangalis or quickly setting up and making their presentation. Thanks a lot. You are welcome to say others listen to your presentation. You may want to do that in solidarity as well, or you may be released. It's up to you. Thanks.
This coffee is not organized. It is not organized.